and welcome to the Jim Baker Family Show, coming to you from the village of Morningside, USA, snuggled in the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today is day two with our dear friend, Pastor Rod Parsley. Our co-hosts today are Maricela Woodall, Mondo De La Vega, and I'm Tammy Sue Baker. And now, direct from Gray Street at Morningside, USA, here's your hosts, Pastors Jim and Lori Baker.
Thank you, Tammy Sue Baker, and welcome, everyone. We are thrilled to have Rod Parsley back with us.
Yes.
Rod is the founder and lead pastor of World Harvest Church in Columbus, Ohio, and he's been there 45 years.
47.
Wow. Oh, 47. I'm always a
there
few
it is.
Years. I'm always a
Look
few
at,
years behind.
Your 47. Wow.
That's your inside church.
Yeah, that's the extra.
That's a little bigger than 45 years ago.
Oh, goodness. Jim.
I love it.
47. First of all, thanks for having
me. It is an honor.
I love y'all.
What an honor.
And, thanks for
it's
coming.
It's been amazing.
Well, anytime.
You and
anytime.
I were together.
Oh.
What, 50 years ago?
Close to, yeah, close to. When Jesus was born, we went to,
but
went to the
those
celebration.
Were the beginnings of Christian television.
Oh, very beginnings. Mm-hmm. Jim, I began in Columbus, Ohio, in a cornfield, in a backyard shelter house
yes.
of my parents' home. I was a sophomore in Bible college,
wow.
and we started the church. The first service, we had 17 people,
mm-hmm.
and only five of them were not my family. For real.
You know, we're laughing, but yeah, I know
we were doing
you're for
great.
Real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pastor knows that.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right.
So listen, so then, you know, I just had received the baptism in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I was raised...
That's your problem.
I know.
Okay.
Because I believe that part about here is the primary yes. witness mm. of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You shall be a witness.
Yes.
Not tongues. I speak in tongues maybe more than you all. But where is that part about being a witness?
Right.
I'm going to ask you something.
Okay.
Would you be here today if you didn't have the Holy Spirit over these years?
Absolutely not.
Wow.
I mean,
that's
look,
what I believe.
Look, I had the proverbial nothing. Mm-hmm. I had no denominational backing. I had no financial backing. My parents were both working two jobs. I was a single sophomore in Bible college, and I was working two
yeah.
jobs.
Wow.
And God said, do this. So we started out, we had 17 people. Within 8 years, we had built a 180-seat building, filled it up five times.
Wow.
Then we built a 400-seat building, filled it up five times. Then we built a 1,200-seat building, filled it up five times, and built and moved into that 5,200-seat mm-hmm. complex
Amen.
Within 8 years of 17 people.
Wow.
Incredible.
No church growth group.
Yeah.
Nobody saying, we'll give you X amount of tens of thousands of dollars if you'll raise X. Didn't have any of that.
Yeah.
Just had a burning desire, a love for God's word,
yeah.
and a burning desire to see people born again
yeah.
and filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Yeah.
And how is your wife, Joni? We
My
didn't
wife,
talk
Joni.
Yesterday on the broadcast, but we did in the green room. I love her.
She is just like God. There she is. She never, ever changes. Mm. She is the best Christian.
Aww.
That's when we were a little younger.
Oh, look how
Whoa.
Cute.
Oh, my land.
Where did you find
wow.
that?
Wow. Okay, Clay.
Whoa.
All right, guys. Okay.
Yeah. And there's where we're building the 1,200-seat building
oh.
at that point.
At that age?
Yeah.
You look like
wow.
a teenager.
But we weren't married.
Oh.
We dated for 7 years.
Wow.
Brother Summerall called it the tribulation period. And I said, yeah, but then we got married and had a honeymoon, and that was like the rapture. And I can't quit.
I love it.
We had kids, and that's like the millennium. But Joanie's just like God. She never changes. She's the best Christian I've ever known.
She's a steadfast woman of God.
And how many children do you have?
We have one in heaven named Abigail, who would have been 26. Wow. And then we have Ashton Blair, who's 33. Mm. And we have Austin Chandler, who's 31. Mm. And the doctors, when he was three, there he is. Mm. When he was three, he's doing children's ministry at our church there. Wow. When he was three, he was diagnosed with autism and autism spectrum disorder. And we were told he would never go to school. He would never read a book. He would never ride a bike. And he graduated from high school with a 4.3 GPA.
Wow. Oh, incredible.
And from college with a 4.1 GPA.
Wow.
And he's trying to get married on me.
Oh, I love it. He's trying to get married on me.
Now, your daughter is being talked about as a great preacher. What is going on there?
My daughter has my mother's anointing.
Mm.
She has my mother's anointing, one of the most powerful anointings I've ever experienced. She handles the word of God like a two-edged sword.
She's beautiful.
And is full of creativity. She runs 17 social media sites.
Wow. Oh, my.
In our ministry.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Now, you and I were together. Do you know what years those was when we...
I should have looked that up, Jim. I don't remember, but it was late 80s. I know it was before 90. Mm-hmm. We were, I believe, in the 400-seat building the first time I came to you. And that was many years
ago. You were in the first studio I built.
Yes.
Beautiful building.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then we went to Heritage USA.
Yes.
And you came there.
Came there, preached some of
preached
those
the
great
at
camp
night.
Meeting
yeah.
services in that and... That was an environment.
Now, that was before you were on television, I think.
Well, I was on some. I was on Dr. Sumrall's
No, you keep mentioning
channel.
His name. Did he have influence on your life?
He's my mentor. Amen. Dr. Lester Sumrall is responsible, and he would just grin and purse his lips for everything I've done. He had it. I wanted it. I chased it.
Yeah.
And... we were the best of friends, and he literally mentored me in every phase of ministry.
Mm. Mm. Look at
I knew him well.
Oh.
There he is.
Oh, there he is. Is that you?
That's me.
Oh, I love
young, you were a young man. See, that's how I remember. I remember you much younger than today.
You know, I started preaching when I was 17 and founded the church when I was 19.
Wow.
So... Yeah.
Wow. Wow. I'll tell you, you've had experiences with some of the great men of God.
And Jim, I'm lonely in my heart for those kinds of anointings to come up in some of our current ministries.
Yeah.
We need people like Jim Baker. We need people like Pat Robertson. We need Brother Hagen is gone. Brother Sumrall's gone. Brother Shambach's gone. Oh, right on down the list, yes. Brother Copeland is in his late 80s. Yes. And just there are so few left.
There are.
And we must honor them and learn from them and listen to them and glean from them.
Yes.
The reason I received such an impartation from Dr. Sumrall was because I just determined to.
Right.
I was like Elijah. I'm not letting you go.
That's it.
And I didn't.
You run after it. Yeah. You go for
People
that.
People mocked me.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Yeah, all he does is be around Dr. Sumrall and Bob. He's Dr. Sumrall's pet. And I didn't care. I did not care. I needed what he had.
Yes.
And so many today, they make that mistake in the Garden of Eden, where we thought we knew the difference between good and evil, and they think because they've had some type of outward success.
Yeah.
Listen, when Dr. Sumrall was mentoring me, my church was much larger than his. But that didn't matter to me.
No.
People would say, well, why don't you have your own missions program? I would say, because my father in the faith has one. Yeah. They would say, well, why don't you start a pastor's conference? I said, because I support my pastors.
Yeah. That's right. That's what you do. It's called
connection.
Honor. It's called,
it's honor.
It's all about honor.
Oh, have we lost that?
Honor.
Have we lost that?
Totally lost it.
Because we think we know everything.
Now, you mentioned you were filled with the Holy Spirit. At what age?
17. I was 17. I had no earthly idea what had happened to me. I was a Baptist.
Right. I understand that.
I'd never heard anybody speak in tongues.
Right.
I'd never been around any of the gifts of the Spirit. Okay. In fact, in 1979, my sister was in an automobile accident. She drove her femur bone through her pelvis and lodged it there. She was 8 months pregnant.
Oh, my.
8 months pregnant. God enabled her to have a miracle, give birth to that baby. But she ended up, some of you listen to me now, 39 prescribed medications a day. Boxes of vials of Demerol, Dilaudid, liquid morphine.
Oh.
She was given 3 months to live and sent home to die. We heard about a charismatic Word of Faith Pentecostal little teacher. His name was Norval Hayes.
Oh, my.
Brother Norval.
Yes.
Brother Norval.
And some friends said, if you will get her to Indianapolis, Indiana, he's going to be there for a week. In a hotel. Well, I'd never heard of such a thing. It was back during Full Gospel Businessmen.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so we went. We went. We just started our church. We were in the 180-seat building. Excuse me. We took her to Indianapolis. We sat there for 6 days. And he would teach and minister 4 and 5 hours at a time.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and we're in a hotel ballroom. You know how those seats.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I thought my tailbone was up between my shoulders.
Yeah.
But the last night, who would do this? He wrapped his arms around my sister. He did not stop praying for 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Wow.
You can't do that in a 40-minute Sunday morning service, Pastor. You can't do it. You got to leave time for God to do the miraculous, and He's going to do it for you. Just open your heart to Him. 2 hours and 45 minutes. I believe in demonic power.
Yes, of course.
I was mentored as an exorcist by Dr. Sumrall.
Yes.
At 2 hours and 30 minutes, her back leg, she was facing him, her back leg went out that way at a 45-degree angle.
Wow.
That way. 3 men, including myself, got up on her little bony leg. She weighed 92 pounds.
Aww.
We tried to push her leg back down, and she was screaming, "Don't let them get me. They've got a hold of me. Don't let them take me to hell." Screaming.
Oh, my.
Immediately. That power broke. She became as limp as a doll, looked around and said, "Where am I?"
Wow.
No idea where she was. Totally and completely set free from the drugs. She lived another 35 years.
Incredible.
Yeah. So I went back to our little Baptist church. And I said,
oh boy.
Anything that happened in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or the book of Acts is not only possible from now on in this church, it is probable.
Wow. Praise God.
I said, if you're sick or you need the baptism in the Holy Spirit, come to the altar now. I've learned to lay my hands on people. He taught me that in that meeting. And they got up and they all started coming. They would get to the front pew in the center and the two side aisles, and they began to fall over in the power of God like cordwood. This is a totally Baptist church.
Yeah.
It was not a learned behavior.
Yeah, no.
You know,
wow.
This was real.
Yeah. Right.
They got baptized in the Holy Ghost. They got healed. They got, and from there, I've just been holding on for the last 45 years.
Yeah. Praying.
Did you lose people?
No. We actually gained.
We actually gained.
Because so many pastors are afraid to let God move.
Well, they won't let God move. And I'm sorry to say, and I love you so much, but you've got to get God moving in your own life. Yes. You've got to feel the stirring of the Holy Spirit in your own life. Yes. You've got to walk in the gifts in your family.
Yes.
And then let it exude out of you.
Amen.
It's not something that can be learned.
Mm-mm.
It has to be witnessed, yeah, accepted, and yielded to.
Is the Holy Spirit for everybody?
Everybody. Everybody. He that is with you shall be in you. Being born again, truly, gets you ready for heaven. Mm-hmm. You are ready to go, but you're not there yet. The baptism in the Holy Spirit gets you ready for earth. That's how you have power.
Yes.
Not just to speak in other tongues.
Right.
We have overemphasized it. We've had the emphasis on the wrong syllable. We have to get the emphasis in the right place. You want to witness for God. You want to pray, but you're without that indwelling of the Holy Spirit, so everything becomes difficult for you. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll have to try not to pray. You won't, you know, thank God for teaching on prayer. I do it. But praying is as natural when you're full of the Holy Ghost as breathing.
Yes.
Winning souls is natural,
yes,
as breathing,
yes,
when you're full of the Holy Spirit.
It's true.
Do you believe in praying in tongues?
Yes. I pray in tongues. I sometimes say, I'm like Paul, I pray in tongues more than you all. One of the most powerful men that I have ever been around, or privileged to be around, and I've been around a lot of, was the late, great Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin.
Mm.
And Brother Hagin taught me that you never stop being mindful of and praying in the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
that's right.
I was never around him. Even if he was sitting here right now, he wouldn't be boisterous or loud,
right,
but he would be praying under his breath,
mm-hmm,
in the Holy Ghost,
mm-hmm,
the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
When you weren't able to speak for 2 years and you were going,
yes,
through this
cancer,
time,
mm-hmm,
of your throat.
Yeah.
Did the Holy Spirit help you to go through those 2 years?
Oh. Yeah. He was so close to me. He was so... real. It was, Jim, like we are when we're on in a pulpit. It was that strong.
Yeah.
But it never left me.
Mm,
he was just with me. Every moment. That's part of the nature of God, you know.
It is.
He's like that great mother eagle.
Yes.
Spreads out his wings.
Yes.
Wraps them around us. And he doesn't even have to say anything. Except, I'm here. That's all I needed, Jim. I needed to know that he was there.
Yes.
And he was so precious, so powerful. Would you like to have that in your life? You can. Right now.
Right now.
Forget all of the religious trappings. Forget all the things in your head. Just lift your hands right,
yes,
now,
Lord.
Yes.
And say, Lord Jesus Christ,
Lord Jesus,
you're the baptizer in the Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
I need you in my life.
Yes, Lord.
I need you to fill me with your presence, with your fire, with your love, with your passion. Set me on fire today. Come into my heart, Holy Spirit. Father God, in Jesus' name, baptize me.
Yes, Lord.
Fresh.
Yes.
New.
Yes.
Or for the first time.
Yes, Lord.
In your wonderful presence. I don't want to feel alone. I don't want to feel that you're far away, but that you're with me.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes, Lord.
In this moment.
Yes.
Now, Holy Spirit, fill every hungry heart.
Yes,
with
oh God.
The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let them have the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Let them know that you are there.
Yes.
Right now. In Jesus' name. Now receive.
Yes, Lord.
Receive for the glory of God in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Do you believe everybody in the church should have the infilling of the Holy Spirit?
1,000%. 1,000%.
Now, a lot of Pentecostal churches don't even practice speaking in tongues or being filled with the Spirit anymore.
Right, because they're backslidden.
They are?
Yes, they're backslidden, Jim. They have a Bible.
Right.
They know the truth.
I want to tell you something. You couldn't be here sitting beside me without the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. Could you be here?
No.
Lori, could you be here?
No.
He brought me through prison.
You couldn't be. Yes.
I lived in prison for 5 years.
Think of it.
And it came from a massive ministry, one of the biggest ministries in the world.
Enormous.
And was put in prison. The people loved, the enemies of the gospel loved
didn't they?
Having me in prison.
Didn't they?
And I was, literally, I learned the book of Revelation in prison.
And ever since.
I've studied the whole Bible in prison.
Yes.
I actually earned a doctorate in prison.
Yes.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
But prison was my college, was my graduate school.
Yeah. Yeah.
And God was with me.
Yes. Yes. Someone told me one time, we were going into a restaurant, and they said, I can't go in there. I said, why? She said, that statue right there, it represents thus and so. And I said, honey, if I was afraid of the devil, I'd never walk out of my house. I'm full of God. The God in me is greater than the devil in front of me.
That's it.
That's why if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can overcome.
You're fearless.
That's it.
The devil. You can say, go away, devil. You can resist him, and the Bible says he'll flee from you. Amen.
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 Oh. I mean, something happened to me in the last 24 hours. I keep wanting to say it, but I better not.
No, say it.
No, but I had somebody say something about our statue here.
Oh, fooey.
Of Jesus.
Oh, boy, honey.
And no, but they said they would not even come in here because that statue was wicked. That statue was, the designer of that statue is an old European artist. This statue was made in China because we couldn't afford to have it copied. And, it would have been $1 million if I had it made in the United States. But this is Jesus, and that's why I put him there, because I love Jesus.
Yes, amen.
But yet Christians can find anything to get upset over. That's not the important thing we're talking about.
No.
No, but let me say this. We're offended that you're offended.
Yeah.
Stop being offended.
That's right.
That's
where
it.
There is no offense intended, there must none be taken.
That's right.
And that is one of the biggest things that's a hindrance in the church today.
It is.
And mean Christians.
Offense.
That's not even accurate. You can't be a Christian and be mean.
No.
Right.
Jim, share this with the next person that says something like that.
Oh, boy.
When I was in Bible college, I had to do a term paper, and I wanted to do it on the reality of Christology, that Jesus is with us.
Yeah. Yes.
Right now. And so there was a cemetery, but it wasn't like most cemeteries. It didn't have grave stones, markers like that. They had little things that were kind of below the grass line, very beautiful, and the markers. And the only thing that they had, and I thought of it when I walked in yesterday, was a statue of Jesus up on a hill, and there was a walkway up to it. And I took Bible college students, right? Bible college students, highbrow. And I said, all I want you to do is start here, and I want you to walk toward that statue. And then I would have them share what happened with them as they slowly approached that statue. One young man fell down on his knees and began repenting of sexual immorality. Because he said, for some reason, it just made it so real. It wasn't that I was worshiping a statue. It's that I was focused and conscious of Jesus being right there right now. Another young girl, and she was not Pentecostal or charismatic, got healed walking up there. It's just practicing an awareness.
That's it. Practicing awareness.
And that's not going to hinder you.
It's good. Okay. We got, you, no, honey, I got your good.
I'm running out of, okay, I'm go. Running out of time. I haven't gotten to page one yet.
We're talking about, you know, Pastor Rod Parsley's new book.
And I want everybody to order the book. If you want to know what God has for you, I want you to read Revival If. Everybody says, we want revival. You need revival in your own soul, your own heart. And then it'll come in your church. Let it begin in you.
Yep.
So order the book today. It's a $25 gift. That's including shipping and handling. So order it right now. And if you want to share it with a friend, you can get the 3 for $65. And everyone can be a missionary.
Right.
And we send out the baker's dozen. I'm baker, but the baker's dozen. It's 13. Did you know that, the baker's? Are you old enough to know?
Do you know that I was reminded of that for the first time today? I was. And I want you to get the baker's dozen.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is 13.
Yeah, because in the old days of bakeries,
right,
they gave 13 donuts if you ordered a dozen.
That's
you
right.
got one free. You That's got 12, right. you got one free. So we're sending 13 out for a gift of $215. And that includes shipping and handling. But you can be a missionary also. So do it. In your book, you quote the Barna Group. I think we mentioned it even the other day, but you reported, if the unchurched Americans were their own nation, they'd be the 8th largest country.
All right, I'm going to stagger everybody right
now. Okay, let's go. Get your notepad.
I'm going to stagger everybody right now, Jim, because when I heard this, I fell to my knees.
Yeah.
Let me preface it with a Holy Ghost experience that I had. Now, most people that have 3 visions a day don't. They had a baker's dozen before they went to bed. Of donuts and pizza. Yeah. But I had this experience.
Oh, boy.
I was seated at my desk in my outer office, which is where I sign, you know, bills and more TV bills.
Anyway,
I was actually signing letters. I was signing letters. And the next thing I knew, I was out of my desk about 15 feet away in a hallway with my head underneath a table. And when I came to myself, I was saying these words: the apex of all Christian endeavor must become to place the jewel of a soul in the crown of our Savior, that the Lamb of God slain may receive the reward of his suffering. Mm. And from that moment until this, it's all been about the one for me.
Yes.
The one person, that one lost sheep. I've spoken to massive crowds. When I was in my 20s, I preached the biggest crusades in America. But that's not what it's about. I've had New York Times best-selling books, but I'm focused on one. Pastor, you're not called to amuse the goats.
That's right.
You're not called to entertainment.
Right.
You're called to preach the gospel, to win the lost, to increase the kingdom of God. Now I'm going to stagger you. As we sit in America today, Jim, come on. 70% of the people that will be born in this nation will live and die and never one time be invited to church.
Wow. It's shocking.
Wow.
That's
Everybody
shocking.
Thinks America is a Christian nation. America is a post-Christian
That's
nation.
That's right. It is a post-Christian nation.
Sad.
7 out of 10 of your neighbors, 1 million, 100 million people this year will die without Christ. Mm. 200 a minute are slipping into hell, which has enlarged her borders, because nobody ever just reached out to them. One of the greatest evangelists I've ever known was raised in Dallas, Texas. He was a child of a prostitute mother and a non-available alcoholic father. He lived in the shadow of a church with a steeple that is known to care for the lost. Until he was 17 years old and a young woman at his high school told him about Jesus. No person from that church ever went and knocked on his mother's door. Mm-hmm. What are we doing?
Right. That's right.
When you get to be my age, yeah. Jim, when you get to be my age, questions haunt you. Yeah, that's why you dig in the scriptures like you do. An incessant desire to know more.
Yes.
Where is your burden, Pastor, for the lost, the hurting, the destitute, the dying? We're not going to have revival in your church until you have a revival. We need you to preach the gospel. 42% of evangelicals surveyed, 42%, nearly 50%, after COVID, say they will never go back to church in person.
Yeah.
That's an acceleration of the falling away.
That's what it is, Jim. And people don't believe that the falling away is real.
It's speeding up. The scriptures are going so fast that I'm spending my whole time in them.
Yes.
I can't keep up with
it. Yes.
I can't keep up with what's going on in the world. So much news. I have a major sermon that I haven't preached yet about Revelation in the news. There's so much. All these things are happening. Jesus is coming.
And yet,
Jesus is coming. And the people are not ready.
No. 98% of every born again, spirit filled Christian in America and Canada, North America, 98% will never in their lifetime win one soul to Jesus.
Oh, my.
What are we doing?
Oh, my.
Why do we need a youth group?
Come on.
Why do we need crystal chandeliers?
Come on.
Why do we need preachers that are superpowered and programs always new? Why do we need a new sanctuary? Why do we need 42 services a week when the one we have isn't full?
Yes.
Give us a burden, God.
Yes.
Let us be like John Knox.
Yes.
Give me
yes.
Scotland or let yes. me die.
Yes.
Let us be like Moses.
Yes, Lord.
If you won't save Israel, blot my name out. America is being overrun with the lies of the adversary.
Yeah.
We're being raped by China.
That's right.
And no one's saying anything. The end is coming as sure as I'm in front of you today.
Yeah, right.
And God's preserving some elder statesmen
thank you,
like
Lord.
Jim and myself
thank you.
To say, come on, young guys.
Yes.
Come on, young ladies.
Yes.
We're going to transfer
yes.
this thing to you.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Amen. Amen.
You and I were the young guys not too long ago.
When we first met.
I still feel like I'm young, but I'm not.
Well, you are in your spirit.
Totally.
You are in your heart.
Yes.
You are in your mind.
Yes.
I don't know how to reach this generation. I want to scream. I want to run. I don't even know what to do because I'm so concerned they're not seeing the word of God. You've got to hear the word.
Yes.
That's the only way you can be saved is by the word of the living God. We have a pastor, a minister in the front row here. He is Methodist background. Would you wave at me, Pastor?
Oh, boy.
There, your wife, there, your young wife there with you.
Yes.
This is Pastor Paul Collins.
Yes.
We love you,
and
Pastor Collins.
Paul Collins is going on 88 years old.
Yes.
And he's preaching what Rod Parsley is talking about.
Yes.
And he's not ashamed. He's going all over the world preaching.
It's exciting.
At this time, and I'm going to have him on the show if we can book you on. We want you to come. I want to interview you. But there is a few.
Yes.
And I believe that, I mean, they always say once a Baptist, always a Baptist. But so you're a Baptist.
I am.
You're a Baptist by birth.
I am.
And you're filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you, I want everyone to understand, the Holy Ghost is not something for back in the Bible days.
Oh, my.
The Bible's filled with,
yes.
Be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's for now. I would have not made it with my losing. They came for me. My whole ministry collapsed. $1 billion ministry.
Yes.
The largest thing in the world
yes.
at that time. I wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't have made it through prison.
No.
Prison is hell. But it became my school.
Yep.
I wouldn't have made it through my stroke of a couple years
Think
ago.
Of that.
But God said, you're not through. I said, God, take me home. It's okay. He said, nope. You know, do you know a great prophet laid hands on me when I was 19 and said that I would usher in the coming of the Lord. I'd help usher in the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit has kept me through the down times.
Yep.
When you're going to do something for God, there'll be warfare.
Mm.
So if you're going through warfare today, don't give up.
Preach, Jim.
Right.
Don't
Preach,
give
Jim.
Up.
Mm.
And I'm telling you, you've encouraged me so much, Rod, today.
Thank
because
you.
You're telling me that you had 2 years where you couldn't even speak. You
no.
had to be healed.
Yes. Yes. 2 years, squamous cell carcinoma, focal cord cancer. Mm. Doctor said, we don't know. We can give you no assurance that you will ever hold a microphone and a Bible again. And
did you learn anything? I mean, did you, that 2 years?
Yeah.
What did it do to your brain?
Well, first
you're
of
like
all,
a, you're like a racehorse. How, without yeah, preaching.
God taught me, he taught me a degree of patience that I'd never had. Mm. And that perhaps I had not been grateful enough.
Mm.
I had not been thankful enough. I had possibly relied on myself too much. And it was, so he taught me things like that, but he also taught me how near he is to me every moment of every
yeah.
day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing I want to just say real quick about you and you. So you had cancer of
yep.
the vocal.
Yeah.
Okay. You had a stroke.
Yeah.
Where? In the
speech
part of the heart. And so when you talk about warfare, so here's it was just the speech part. That was all it was.
Wow.
But what it was Satan trying to shut you up and trying to shut you up, both of you up.
Yep.
That's
so
what it was.
So don't be discouraged if you're going through something.
Yes, exactly.
The devil hates you.
Yes.
And that's going to get you a crown in heaven.
There you go. There you go.
See, I'm
and
serving a God who's greater, right?
Yes.
Right.
So you are watching right now, and you and
what happened the first time you preached after that 2 years? Was that a
first time I preached was for Bishop T.D. Jakes.
Oh my land!
At the Potter's House,
he invited
me, and I'll never forget it. It was such an honor, and it was God said, I'm going to bring you back. He told me that. He, in fact, said, I'm going to give you your life back. Because if I can't do this, then I don't want to be here.
Right.
There's nothing else I want to do but to bring the message of the gospel to folks.
That's right.
And he said, I'm going to bring you back, but it's going to be different.
Yeah.
You're going to have to make some adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't do 200 nights a year on the road anymore.
Right.
You know,
wise.
I have to be a little wiser.
You do.
With my time. And, but I want, Brother Sumrall taught me, he said, you go through three phases of life. Mm-hmm. 0 to 30 years are your gathering years. You're learning years.
Boy,
you're putting it all together years.
Yeah, yeah.
30 to 60, you take all that and you build with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, when you turn 60 till you go to heaven, you're in your giving years.
Yes.
And so you're consumed with giving.
Yeah.
I'm consumed with giving.
Yeah.
I just want somebody to get it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I hope you'll get it.
Right.
Listen. To men like Jim Baker, listen, they have so much to teach you.
Yeah.
Learn at their feet. Now, you said, I don't really know how to reach this generation. I never knew how to reach young people. I started pastoring when I was 19.
Yeah.
Everybody in my church was double my age.
Yeah.
So I didn't have that kind of launching ground. I didn't really learn how to communicate with them.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what's important. The contents of this cup can change, right?
Right.
The container of what this water is in can change.
Mm-hmm.
I can put this water in this if I want to.
Right, right.
I can put it in one of those coffee cup things. Still water.
Yeah. That's right.
Right? The container doesn't change it.
Right.
So the container may change. It went from black and white to color.
Right.
It went from broadcast stations to satellite. It's the same contents that Paul the Apostle used. The gospel never changes.
Never changes.
But the container must change. And it continues to change. It continues to evolve.
Mm.
And Jim, you've been on the cutting edge of every bit of it your entire life. And it will not change till God takes you to heaven.
That's right.
Or we go in the rapture.
Right.
You're going to continue to evolve. You see things. You're a seer.
Yeah.
Other people don't see.
It's true.
God reveals them to you. In his word. And so he gives you this platform so that you can inform. But that's Jim's part. Your part is to share it.
Yeah.
You ought to be sharing every one of these programs on all your social media.
Yeah.
You should be, what do you call it? Sharing.
Sharing.
Everything. You know, I'm 66.
Yeah, me too.
My daughter teaches me.
Yeah, I need someone to teach me.
Tweet everything. get Jim's books and tweet everything he says.
Yes.
Get this message out there.
Amen.
It's never been easier to preach the gospel.
That's right. Amen.
You can get.
Amen.
Your new book.
You can get this book.
Yes.
You can even get it on an audio book. Mm-hmm. I made an audio book.
Whoa.
Because Ashton made me. She said, you have to do an audio book. I said, I don't want to. She said, you have to.
That's
but
a big
we want
job.
You to get it from so the Jim Baker show. We want
right
you to
now.
Do right now. We really mean this. That you can get one of Pastor Rod Parsley's book, Revival If, Igniting Your Passion for Personal mm-hmm. Renewal and National Revival, mm-hmm. which is what we've been talking about. And there's just so much in here. Oh. It is so deep. It is so awesome. I love how real you are, Pastor Rod.
Give one to your pastor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I don't know what question you're going to ask, but I mean, I have so much in here highlighted.
You've got it all highlighted.
So, like, I'm ready to roll, but go, honey.
Go ahead, ask one.
Well, no, you know, I'm just...
We're about out of time again.
I just love this. We were talking about spiritual warfare earlier. We were talking about Satan. We know that Satan comes to us as believers to wear us down.
Yeah.
He comes to wear the saints down.
Yeah.
Isn't that what the Word of God says? He comes to wear the saints down. Okay. But you say here, which is really, towards the last page 209, if you want to follow along, mm-hmm. those that have the book. Okay. And one part, you say, I ask you to please read the following closely. I believe Satan's goal is not to empty out our churches. Mm-mm. It is to fill them to overflowing. Are you ready? With lukewarm believers.
Wow.
Excites the emotions, mm-hmm. numbs the conscience, mm-hmm. and dulls the spirit.
Wow.
Yep. Yep.
Come on.
Now, that's just one little part here. And that's the truth, though. That's what's happening.
Here's the thing. Took me 2 years to write this book.
Oh.
And I wanted to hear what God was saying. I would write, and he would say, no, this. And then I would write. And that's where things like that came from. And I'm 66. I wish I used this like you do.
I know, the me computer, too.
But I'm still this.
Me too.
You know, and look at my poor finger.
I don't feel so
it's
bad.
Just, yeah. It's just crooked and from writing. But it was a labor of love. What we've got going on in the modern church is a 99% play either to the psyche or to the emotions, both of which are your soulish man.
That is, that's right. Mind
they can be a gateway, but when they are the message, we miss the spirit.
Right.
And this is a supernatural kingdom.
It really is.
The Holy Spirit.
That's right.
It's supernatural. You're not going to get kingdom revelation in your mind. And I run a Bible college, founded a Bible college, one of the greatest in the world. You can come there and get your fully accredited bachelor's degree, getting ready to go into the master's program. So I'm not saying we need to dumb our minds down.
Right.
We need our minds to be enlightened. But we need to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit illuminates Scripture, not our minds. And when we're only appealing to the emotions, we have faulty conversions because we preach a faulty gospel. It's kind of like you're at a convention. Come down here and let's pray a now I lay me down to sleep prayer. Pastor will carve another notch in his belt. And they'll put you in some program to try to learn to become a Christian, which you can't do. Rather, we must appeal to the Spirit. We must appeal through the foolishness of preaching. Stop attempting to impress everybody with your intellectual superiority. That's wonderful. But you can get that in a university that knows nothing about God. I want somebody that has both a mind touched by God, but a spirit that is on fire with the passion of God's kingdom to see life transformation. One of the largest church growth experts shared with me privately. He said, we're getting the numbers, but we're not getting life change. So what do you want?
Yeah.
Numbers can be idolatrous.
Right.
It is entirely possible, Pastor, for your church to grow, to decline in numbers and increase in anointing.
Amen.
Anybody can handle success, but how many preachers can handle a dip in numbers?
Yeah.
And still stay true to the message of the gospel. Jesus lost one of 12. Are you listening to me?
Mm-hmm.
So stop being so hung up on numbers.
Right.
Think about souls.
Yeah.
Think about life change. Think about people maturing in God and becoming people of prayer,
yeah,
and people of witness and people of God's presence.
Mm-hmm.
That's all free. There's more of it in the book.
You
yeah.
better believe
part
it.
Of the book.
And just one last thing.
No,
I just have to say it.
I'm out of time.
I just have one word, one sentence. This is on this part. You just talk the altar of numbers. This is where that this comes out of what I read. Oh, this is you talking, by the way,
okay.
Pastor. By the way, I believe the only way to be born again is to die.
Mm, wow.
How can you be born again? I was born.
That's true.
January the 13th, Cuyahoga County, Ohio, in Cleveland, 22 inches of snow on the ground. And eternity recorded, Rod Parsley was born. But 8 years later, in a church service preached by a woman which our denomination didn't believe in, I was the only one in that little tiny building. There may have been 30 people there. A 45-watt light bulb hanging down on a wire. Wooden benches. And a broken-up concrete floor. I tugged on my mother's skirt. She said, what do you want? I said, I want to go to the altar. Preachers, get the altars back in your churches.
Amen.
Amen.
I tugged on her skirt. She said, what do you want? I said, I need to go to the altar. My mother was a very brilliant person. To an 8-year-old boy, she said, why? I said, because I'm a sinner and I need a Savior.
Mm.
She said, that's the right answer. She took me to that altar. 8 years after January 13th, 1957, when I was born into this world, heaven recorded Rod Parsley died and was born again on this day.
Amen.
And it gets better every single day.
Amen.
Our time's
you.
Up. But I have to come back so I can finish interview on this book, because I haven't even gotten to page two.
It would be my great honor.
All right.
Thank you.
We're going to take you up on that.
Okay.
Okay. You say in this book, you base it on one scripture.
Yep.
2 Chronicles 7:14. Is that right?
Yep.
What if we followed that prescription for healing?
Yep.
What would happen?
Everybody would get healed.
Yes.
Now, that's the important part.
That's the name of the book, If.
If. And people say, why did you put that if on there? Here's why. Every promise of God, every covenant of God is conditional. Stop asking God to do things that he's already done.
Yes.
Right.
Instead of crying out, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Mm-hmm. Hear God saying, where are my Elijahs? Every blessing is conditional. God says, I'll do this if you do this. Call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved.
Yes.
Give, it shall be given unto you. Over and over again, everything hinges on if, because God forever surrendered his right to act independently in your life. in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. He said, let us make man in our image and give him dominion in the earth. And he never took it back. So we have to meet the criterion. Yes. The criterion is this. If my people call by my name, that's you, mm-hmm. will, number one, humble themselves, seek my face, and pray, then I will, and turn from their wicked ways. That's repent. Yeah. Then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Yeah. That's the prescription. And it begins with humility and prayer. Yeah. And then seeking God's face. When I was on my back for 2 years, unable to speak, I have a journal that I kept. I prayed those scriptures 2 hours every morning and 2 hours every night. I was before, you say, well, you couldn't speak. Yeah, but my mind could.
That's right.
And I would hold up scriptures and say, mouth the words, I'm claiming this one. Yeah. And I would make confessions and I would write them down. I put that all in a book. My assistant asked me, and she said, please don't take your handwriting off of it. Please leave it. So I did. But when you get as desperate for God as a drowning man is for his next breath, the moment you seek him with your whole heart, whether it's in prison or flat on your back or at a luxury office building today, when you turn to him with your whole heart,
that's right.
He'll be with you.
He will.
Amen.
In that moment.
Amen.
Order the book today, please.
Get
before
at least,
we leave the
get,
air.
Get it. Get at least one. And Manisala.
Yes, that's right. You can receive one for a donation of $25 to the ministry. That includes shipping and handling. Or we have our friends and family offer, which is 3 of the books for a donation of $65. Or better yet, our baker's dozen, 13 books. For a love gift and donation to the ministry of $215. Shipping and handling is included on all the offers that we have here at Morningside. Make sure to call that toll-free number, 1-888-988-1588, or you can also go to our website, jimbakershow.com, as well to do your giving there.
I want to thank Rod Parsley.
Thank you, Jim.
For being with us today.
Love you, Lori. Thank you.
Amen. Give Joni our love, please.
I'll do
we
it.
Have to go. Remember that God loves you.
Yes.
And
Amen.
We'll do more revelation in the news in the next few days. God loves you. He really does. Bye-bye
Amen.
For today.
Amen.
Bye-bye. We love
Amen.
You.
Thank you for watching today's program. We need your support now more than ever. Call us today. 1-888-988-1588. That number again is 1-888-988-1588. You can also write to the Jim Baker Show at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri 65615. Please make all checks payable to Jim Baker Show. Or you can make your donation and order of other products online at our website, jimbakershow.com. Thank you for your continued prayers and financial support. It's because of partners like you that we can continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.